There we go. So today I'm going to talk to you about the power of 10. And by that, it's the number 10, and we're just going to keep adding zeros. I'm going to take you on a journey through God's creation, starting here on earth, and we're going to go all the way out to about 10 to the 26th. So we're going to visit the quantum world out in the universe. Then we're going to take that journey back again into the particle side of things, down to the atom and subatomic levels, so we can see God's creation on an intimate level and what it can teach us about him and his creation. So I want to start off by thanking all the visitors that show up, and then also all of their regulars. Thank you so much. So let's close our eyes now for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I want to first thank you for having my family up here with me, and what a blessing that is. They did a terrific job, and I'm proud of them. Please help me to be the parent that I need to be so that they can grow up and love you the way they need to and serve you for the ending times. We want to thank you as a church for bringing us here on this Sabbath day, that we have this Sabbath day to worship you still. It's this day that we get to honor you, and that we need to realize what you've done for us and out of this world for us. Please continue to be with us. Forgive us for our sins, because it's our sins that are the reason why this world is so. You died on the cross to forgive us, and we are so thankful for that you went through. Please help us now as we go out through this day and continue to understand your laws by your creation. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I got the clicker somewhere too. There it is. Just got to figure out which way to point it. There you go. So in Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speak, and night unto night showeth his knowledge." All we need to do is look at God's creation to understand that what he created for us and why he created for us this world and how it represents his laws and how it obtains it. Is that good? 1 second. So I'm not going to read all of it. This is a lot. But this is from Ellen White in her Educations, page 99, paragraphs 1 and 2. And it also says that upon all created things, it is seen the impressness of the deity. Nature testifies of God. How true that is. It's the same power that upholds the nature, that upholds the universe, that is working in all men. Infirm that. All of the life proceeds. So it's by the power of God that everything he has created continues to grow and circulate in this world. So our journey starts here. This is just the top of an oak tree. It starts here at 10 to the zero, so 1 meter, and that's it. And we're going to slowly take our journey a little higher so we can see the tops of many oak trees. And as we keep going, we can see further. And now here's some buildings surrounding here. This is in Florida, which you'll see now. It's all known as the National Magnetic Field Laboratory. So this is about 1 kilometer above the Earth now. Here at 10 to the 4th, or 10 kilometers, we can start seeing Tallahassee, Florida. This is approximately the start of space. So we're outside the atmospheres right now. And now we go to about 100 kilometers, and we can start seeing almost all of Florida. This is approximately a little higher than where the International Space Station flies. It is floating above the Earth around 400 kilometers, so they're just a little taller than this. But as we go out to 1,000 kilometers, we can start seeing Florida. Now, all this is pretty exciting. You can use Google Earth and see all this, too. But what Google Earth doesn't do very well, start taking us out even further. It does take us to the Western Hemisphere, so we can spin the Earth around. But it doesn't take us this far. We can't see the Earth from 100,000 kilometers away. Here at about 1 million kilometers, we see the Earth and the Moon. The Moon is only about 400,000 kilometers away, So you could fit inside there, as you can see its orbit around the Earth. We go out now, and the moon is just fairly, couldn't even see it, but we start seeing the orbits of the Earth as it moves around. And now at 10 to the 11th, or approximately 100 million kilometers, we start seeing the neighbors of Venus in our view. Earth is now approximately 150 million kilometers away from us. I mean, the sun is. So as we would shift over, we would start running into it. The size of the sun would actually fit inside this whole picture right here. So as we see the sun in the center, you can start seeing the orbits of Mars and Mercury and Venus, and then finally Jupiter. Now this is our entire solar system with the outer planets as well as the interior planets. And here at 10 to the 14th, we're approximately 100 billion kilometers away. Now as we go a little further at 1 trillion kilometers, our solar system appears to be all by itself. Isn't this the way we feel as we go through the world without God? And now we've finally made it. We skipped kilometers because they're getting too big, so we move on to light years. So this is approximately 1 light year away, and the sun is still the brightest object there is. It is believed that at least half of all the stars that we see here actually contain planets that surround them. So as we read that in Hebrews, that God created the universe and all the worlds. So there's many worlds out there, and they're all here watching us, because we are the only ones that have sinned. At 10 light years away, we start seeing many more stars out there. As we go a little further at 10 to the 18th, we start seeing the stellar dust of the Milky Way galaxy in our view. At 10 to the 19th, or 1,000 light years, we start seeing the Milky Galaxy itself, and it contains many of the stars. The Milky Way galaxy is believed to contain approximately 100 billion stars just in this galaxy alone. And as we keep moving out further, we're getting to the edge. And remember, Earth is sitting there still in the center. The center of the Milky Way galaxy is approximately 27,000 light years away. We are not close to the center. We are far off towards the edge. And this is just the outside of it. We can't even see the center, even though we're 100,000 light years from Earth. The shape of the Milky Way galaxy is flat. It's a spiral disk. It's approximately 100,000 light years in distance and about 1,000 light years thick. So there's a lot of space in there for those 100 billion stars to float and never touch each other. Now as we get to 1 million light years away, we start seeing other galaxies as well. Astronomers believe that there is approximately 100 billion galaxies that are observable in our universe. Our universe is only visible approximately 27 million light years. That's it. That's all the further we can see, and that means that's all the light that has reached Earth thus far. So if you do the math and you take 100 billion galaxies times 100 billion stars in each galaxy approximately, you get a really big number of stars that are out there in the universe. It's approximately 1 to 20 to the 21st power. So that's 1 with the 21 zeros behind it. I'm not sure what that number's called, so I didn't even try. Smaller than that, buddy. So as we move on, and we're at 10 million light years away, we start seeing further galaxies away. So there's plenty of space in this world, in the heavens that God created for us. So if we remember the parable of the lost sheep, and this is when Jesus was talking about how important it is to go out for that one shepherd to find that one lost sheep. If you take a spin on this, as Ellen White did in Be Like Jesus, she said that our world, this one lost world, is that lost sheep itself. And God cares more about this one world that he lost, that we're in, than the rest of the 99 that are out there. So now we need to take that journey back to our oak tree. So as we do that, we go back in time. If faster and faster into our solar system, into Earth, until we see Florida, and here comes our tree. So now we're going to start moving into the tree, and we can start looking at the leaf itself and looking closer at the surface of the leaf and start moving into it. And we start to see the cells at approximately 1 millimeter distance away. As we get to about 100 microns, or 10 to the negative fourth, we start seeing the cells of the leaf itself. So here at 10 microns, we can start seeing the individual cells. Now, what are cells? Cells are the smallest structural and functional units of an organism. So these little cells are what make us and who we are and what every plant and animal that God created on this earth is. Now, as we start getting closer at 1 micrometer, we start seeing the nucleus of the cell. And the nucleus of the cell is what controls it. It is the brain of the cell itself. As you start going inside the nucleus, you start seeing the chromatin. And the chromatin is just a fancy word that says the material that contains the DNA and the RNA and the proteins inside the cell. And there you go. There's the DNA at 10 nanometers. It's the helix, double helix that you hear about in science and read about all the time. So as we start getting closer to that double helix, the DNA, about 1 nanometer away, we can start seeing it up close in the actual individual elements that make up that protein molecule. And here now we finally see at 10 to the 10th, in the ninth era, the electron cloud of a single element. So right here now you see the carbon atom that makes up that leaf. The carbon atom is the building block for all life on Earth. And what does that carbon atom contain? That cloud has a nucleus in the center and then all the electrons on the outside. So this is just a pictorial showing what's inside that cloud makes up. So in the chemistry world, we learn how to take those electrons and manipulate them and build them and connect them to the other things, and that's what builds those lives that God has created. So in The Desire of Ages, on page 789, Ellen White shares with us, "It was Christ himself who had placed those clothes with such care. When the mighty angel came down in the tomb, he was joined by another who was with his company and had been keeping guard over the Lord's body. This is this morning, the morning of his resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead, and God sent the two angels with him. As the angels from heaven rolled away the stone, the others entered the tomb and unbound the wrappings from the body of Christ. But it was the Savior's hand that folded each and laid it in its place. In his sight, who guides alike the stars and the atom, there is nothing unimportant. Order and perfection is seen in all of his works." It is the perfection that you just saw there, and to the other quantum scale of things in the universe that God cares about and controls and manipulates in a certain way. At 10 to the negative 11th, we're at about 10 picometers. Now we're inside that nucleon cloud to see. It looks like a lot of the empty space that we see out in heaven, but truly nothing is empty in this world that God created. As we keep moving in closer, we get to about 1 picometer, and we can start seeing the nucleus of the carbon atom itself. And as we get closer and closer, you can start seeing it. So what is the nucleus? It's the positively charged center of the atom itself. It's those electrons that fly around. They're called electrons for a reason, because they're negatively charged. And just like our solar system, the positive charged center is what holds up and binds everything together. So as we get to 10 to the negative 14th, we see the nucleus itself. The carbon atom has 6 protons and 6 neutrons. If you count them here now, you only see 9, because there's another 3 in the back. And as you get even closer, you just move inside the proton and onto the surface. Beneath this, there's believed to be nothing. So in Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from created of this world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuses." So the things that God created for us are all there for us to understand in his world. We have this Bible, we have scripture, and we have God's creation that teaches us all of the laws that we need to know about him. And finally, for steps to Christ, Ellen White tells us one last time, if we listen to God and his created works, he can teach us a lesson, the lesson of obedience that we need to make it to heaven. God cares for everything that he's created, even us, even though we have sinned. And it sustains everything he's created. Those individual molecules that create those humongous universes are all controlled by his hand. There's no tears that are shed that God does not notice. There is no smile that he does not see. So it's with that, and that quick little journey of the world, I want you to go outside and recognize that God's created world can teach us so many things about his life. Amen. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this universe and for the subatomic level, because it's that care that you took in to put a molecule together, a single atom with its nucleus and electrons, that can be built into DNA, that can be turned into cells, that can build an oak tree. Those same molecules can build us. You sculpted them in so many special ways that set us apart. We're so sorry that we failed you, and we need to try harder to understand your way so that we can be ready for your second coming, when you can create a new heaven and a new earth for us, where there will be no more sin. Thank you again for this day. Please help us to understand your laws. Forgive us for our sins. Amen. With that,